MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Philip Short. He's a fund manager at Flagship Asset Management. Philip, appreciate the time today. Gold is absolutely having its day in the sun. And I want to dig into some of the nuances behind it. Historically, there's been a strong correlation with negative real rates. But ever since the Ukraine war in 2022, that has broken down, which is quite telling in many factors.
Yes, I think what that coincided with, not only the Ukraine war and probably a short flight to safety, but the fact that as a result of the war, the US and the Western allies sanctioned US foreign reserves, which included US debt owned by Russia. Basically, they confiscated Russian debt and said, we're not going to pay this debt to you anymore. And I think that a lot of people that held US debt or US treasuries thought, well, our holdings in US debt is or are not safe. Let's look for another safety asset, which you then saw global central banks doubling up their purchase of gold directly after that war started. So I think it's not just a coincidence, but that there are reasons behind gold's move higher after the war started.
Yeah, I want to come to central bankers, but in a note you put out, had an absolutely fascinating chart. I mean, you mentioned China reducing its holding of US treasuries, and it goes back to 2018, but actually it's accelerated since the Ukraine war. I mean, China's down 32%, Brazil's off 15%, Saudi Arabia down 11%, Japan's increased, but there certainly has been, you know, and it's not, as you point out, concerns around the US not paying their debts, they can print the money. It's concerns around that sanctions, which hit Russia. And I mean, China has a tenuous relationship with the US.
Yes, as you rightly point out, the US will always be able to pay its debt. That's why it's always seen as safe. But if the US does not want to pay you the debt, you know, that's as good as them not being able to pay you the debt. And in that chart that I did put out, what I wanted to highlight was that it was China and its BRICS allies that have been selling down debt. However, US allies such as Japan, the UK and Canada have been increasing their purchases of the debt. So, you know, if you are China and you have your ambitions with Taiwan or that regional space, you'd also be concerned watching the US freezing Russia's US debt assets, thinking, well, that could happen to you.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main reason why they've been selling down their US holdings, their debt holdings, and buying gold.
And certainly we have seen it. I mean, we get the World Gold Council report out every quarter. We've seen consistent now for a number of years central bank buying. And I was chatting with them a month or so ago and asked if central bank is price sensitive. And the answer was, well, within reason, but broadly, if they want to buy, I don't know, X tons of gold, they're broadly going to buy it. And the trend is, I don't want to say early days, but it's not something that's going to probably end in a hurry. There's central bank demand for gold probably for a good while, if not, you know, well into the future.
Yeah, that's a good point that you make on the World Gold Council, which I also see. So interestingly enough, in the last 3 months, China hasn't actually bought any extra gold, but the gold price has still been moving up. Other central banks have been buying. So I think, you know, them not buying for 3 months, maybe they are slightly sensitive to the price of gold. But more interestingly for me is that if you look at gold as a percentage of total reserves for China, it's sitting at 4%, where for America, it's sitting at 70%. So gold relative to its total reserves for China is still a fraction compared to many of the larger currencies. And China being such a large exporter that it is sitting with so much reserves, a lot of it in FX reserves. And I think that needs a more of a safe haven home than sitting in dollars.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what about rates? Because, you know, traditionally, if we start to see real rates come down with speed, certainly faster than the market expects, that should be good for gold. Is that still likely to hold? Notwithstanding, I mean, we don't know what Jerome Powell and other central bankers are going to do with rates, but could that still be positive for the metal?
Definitely. When we saw that relationship break down in the Russian invasion and that relationship was broken down, I think it's probably a better term to say is that it was dislocated for the time being whilst a bigger structural factor took place, and that being the US freezing Russia's debt. I think as we see in September, when we most likely see the Fed start cutting rates in the US, you'll see gold go even further from here. So I think the only caveat I'd say to gold in the short term is one, if inflation comes down a lot quicker than expected, and also I say, like, you know, if Trump does come into elections, he might step back and reverse the decision on Russia's debt position. But I think that is probably a short-term effect. I think, you know, as I said, the proverbial Rubicon River has been crossed. And I think, you know, once bitten, twice shy. I don't think anybody's going to trust the states again once they've frozen dead for the first time.
And that's just it. And it comes back to the bullish case for gold, is it remains intact. And there will be, as is always the case, there will be some bips along the way. But there is a fundamental shift that's happened in favor of gold.
Yes, it's structural. There's a long runway to go in terms of looking, as I mentioned, China and other countries, which have such a small position in gold relative to Western countries. And the US debtors, as we say, they are able to pay the debt, but the question is, are they willing to pay their debt? And that, as we've seen, that's not always the case.
Yeah, and that is what, some plus 30 trillion. And that 4% number for gold holdings for China, I hadn't realized it was so low. We'll leave it there. That's Philip Short, fund manager at Flagship Asset Management. Appreciate the time.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.